This is episode 455 of the Locked On Rangers podcast. I'm here with Grant Schiller. We're going to talk about prospects. We're going to talk about, you know, Adolis Garcia. We're going to talk about Joey Gallo, of course. This is Locked On Rangers.
You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are locked on to the Texas Rangers Podcast. I'm your host, Bryce Patrick, joined today by my ever faithful companion. First time you're seeing his face on video if you're watching on YouTube. The one, the only, the OG, Grant Schiller. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. That's so professional now. I'm shocked. Your intro was, you went to this deep booming voice.
I know. It's my stage voice. I don't know where it came from. It just came from somewhere deep inside of me. Oh, and of course, I realized I don't have my my one more fancy thing, my ring light to light up my face. Because this is the now third episode that I have recorded today. And so it's very hot. And so it just being on my face and I can't have my fan blowing on me. So like, I don't want to like just completely sweat through the back of my shirt, but I haven't because somehow it went from like 99 degrees to like 76 here on the 21st day of September, a lovely holy day for all of those who enjoy Earth, Wind, and Fire. Is that you?
Well, oh, is that what the song's about? September? Is it the 21st?
21st night of September, yes.
Okay.
But well, as you're listening to this, it'll be the 23rd night of September, which is, it's a fine night too.
It is the equinox, right? 21st?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so, okay.
Because so my birthday, fall. Yeah, my birthday, which is March 21st, is on an equinox as well, so it means that I'm special or something, I guess. I don't know.
I guess. Word of advice, lose the ring light. We don't need to see you any better. We might just want to go pitch black.
That's fair. That's fair. Just cover up the camera. This is it. This is what you're getting. It's more for the decorations than for me, but.
Okay. Yeah, that's
we'll
fair.
See how it is. Yeah, I got a Dirk poster from the Dirk game, a lovely housewarming gift from my friend Elena. Got to represent the Tide and, you know, the happiest moment in franchise history. Besides, you know, I say equally tied with like everything that Adrian Beltre did and also everything that Joey Gallo did. Joey Gallo, I don't know if you heard this, he kind of misses the Rangers a little bit, which I was not ready to hear. And I'm just wondering if you had seen that news and if what it does to you emotionally, because I know it did a lot to me and I'm sure it did a lot to you as well.
I saw there was an article that came out today while I was at work, and I haven't been able to read it yet. But initially, my reaction is that I'm not totally surprised. I mean, I know right after the trade, we kind of talked about how we weren't sure that New York was a great fit for him because he really lets things bother him and eat at him. And he's a very aware person. And New York's not the greatest place to be that way, to let things bother you. And they aren't very forgiving people like Rangers fans and the organization is. So it doesn't necessarily shock me.
Yeah. So Evan Grant wrote an article on the Dallas Morning News talking about, you know, him and the first availability that he had coming out of the dugout. He looked like he had been crying. And I think he talked a little bit about that, how emotional he was and how he's like, I'll see the Rangers are playing so-and-so on TV. And like, I'm just so used to it. It's all I've ever known. And he's like, I'm happy here. They have welcomed me in New York with open arms. But he said, it's like being in a new school. Sometimes there are some nerves. Let's see. Where do we go? Yeah, obviously the 5 years, $84 million. Like I remember at the time, like that's an insult. And then like, I couldn't really do the math of like averaging that and then realizing that's like significantly less than like $20 million a year, which is like the absolute baseline for him. So just seeing that again was like, good God. But he talked about, or Evan wrote about how there was like this moment when he first found out about the trade. Let's see. It was Woody that went and initially found him. He was just taking swings in the cage and he said he wanted to talk to him and he just kind of ignored him, just kept taking his hacks in the cage, which because he knew this is what the conversation was going to be. And Evan said, only after a second visitor to the cage did Gallo relent and meet with John Daniels, Chris Young, and Chris Woodward. Subject, of course, was his impending deal. This is what Gallo had to say on that conversation. He said it was a 10-minute conversation, but I don't think much was said. It took me some time to gather my thoughts. I was like, okay, this is going to be a lot. I think I was the last person to leave the stadium that night. It was emotional, which, yeah, it was definitely emotional. And Woodward talked, he had this big long quote that I've already read on two different episodes this week, but basically the gist is that Joey cares a lot. And, you know, Woody said that that's what's wrong with our society is that like people don't care enough and don't have empathy for people. But Joey, he cares a lot and he feels a lot. And that's his greatest strength as a person, which like, you know, freaking love Chris Woodward for that. And obviously he still thinks about his home in Texas and, but he's been doing really well lately. And I talked with Stacey G, I'm not even going to try and pronounce her last name because I butchered it so badly on the last episode. But she said she didn't think that it was the pressure that was getting to him. She thought that they were trying to hit him early in the lineup, like I think either leadoff or in the two hole. And he was saying that, no, that I don't do well there. It hasn't like, I don't feel comfortable there. And now he's hitting fifth and that is coincided with him hitting a whole bunch of monster bombs. And, you know, I talked with her and I thought theoretically, like if you have, you know, a better lineup than the Rangers, if you had a Yankees like lineup, him batting leadoff, do you think that would make sense? Like theoretically, obviously yeah. Like, it didn't work out, but like, it's kind of weird a guy being that big with that much power, like being a leadoff guy. How, like if you had an ideal world, where would you bat him in a lineup full of guys that are also stars?
I mean, in like a championship lineup, I think leadoff makes some sense. He gets on base, he sees pitches. He's a good base runner. I could see anywhere from 1 to 5 through 7, honestly. If you're, I mean, like if you're dropping in the Dodgers lineup, he's not a 2, 3, 4 hitter for him. But anywhere else, it's pretty much fair game. I think leadoff does make sense.
Yeah, that would definitely be fun. But I, Stace talked about being frustrated with Yankees coaching and not listening to players and what, you know, they want to do and things like that and all kinds of other stuff. But you know, I'm going to take a quick break, but after we come back, I haven't talked much about Kohei Arihara being DFA'd. That kind of came out of nowhere for me, especially to make room for Mike Foltynewicz. But we're going to get into that, what it means for next year's rotation and all kinds of other stuff right after this word from our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to talk to you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before. So you can watch your favorite sports movies and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at directtv.com. That is directtv.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Today's episode is also brought to you Molecule Mattress. I share a bed with a Pro Bowl quarterback, an Olympic swimmer, and a national women's soccer star. I should explain. When I heard how many elite athletes sleep on Molecule Mattress and call it their best sleep ever, I ordered one for myself, and they are spot on. I'm no elite athlete. You know, I do occasionally walk my dog and, you know, walk from the couch to the fridge and all kinds of other stuff. But I got, you know, all kinds of different sleep issues, like just not being able to fall asleep, waking up with a stiff back and all kinds of stuff. But Molecule sleep scientists literally created the world's most perfect mattress. It's unlike any other mattress in a box. It's cool and soft to the touch. Not like the foam mattress. It's got 6 times the airflow of my old mattress, so it keeps me cool all night. And it's antimicrobial. Molecule Mattress is how elite athletes and Bryce Patrick get the best sleep ever. Sleep on your Molecule Mattress risk-free for 100 nights. If you don't have your deepest, most restorative sleep ever, just return it. Visit onmolecule.com and save 20% with the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, save 20% with the promo code LOCKEDON at onmolecule.com. Now, let's get into this DFAing of Kohei Arihara. It's wild because literally last week, Woodward talked about how he thought that Kohei Arihara was going to be a part of his rotation, you know, into next year. Uh-huh. He only got 10 starts. And, like, I feel like this was super premature. Do you?
So, I mean, first and foremost, what he says doesn't carry a lot of water. He said a lot of just crazy things, and probably more so this year than other years. There's a long laundry list of very mediocre players he said very glowing things about. But as far as Arihara,
are you saying that Joey Gallo is a mediocre player?
No, I'm saying that Kids in the Dominican won't be copying Leody's swing and that Eli White isn't like a superstar, amongst other things. But so now, to be clear, I haven't seen Arihara since he came back from his injury. So the information I'm working with is from early in the season. My kind of takeaway then was that he didn't really have big league stuff, and the margin for error on his command and pitchability was super small. There were a couple starts there where he did well with it. I mean, he is a smart pitcher. He does have good command. But you miss just a little bit with his stuff, it's going to get hit hard. And so that's why I think at the time I was really questioning letting him pitch through an injury, because that's going to impact your command that he just can't have happen. So it doesn't necessarily shock me that they DFA'd him. It does surprise me they did it for Foltynewicz, just because, you know, he's a free agent after the year and he's not very good himself. But, you know,
they do have another year of control through arbitration with Foltynewicz.
They'll not tender him. No chance they tender him. But I think I was just looking while you're doing the ad read. We got breaking news today that Kohei Arihara did make it through waivers, unsurprisingly, and is assigned to AAA. So, I mean, he'll still be around as a depth option.
Yeah, it was just a little surprising because, I mean, I don't know. I thought he'd be a part of the rotation next year. I definitely agreed that, you know, he doesn't quite have big league stuff, but, like, I don't know. He's a veteran and, you know, they just need somebody, but this just opens up another spot to get one of those guys that we talked about last week of the, like, young guys with some potential that, they've done such a good job of, like, or maybe on the older side with, like, a little bit of potential that has been squandered to this point. And, you know, I'm up for, I think they need to get at least two of those guys now at this point, because, like, the rotation right now, it's looking like we talked about, I mean, Taylor Hearn and Dane Dunning. And then if they get two of those guys, then there's one slot for either Glenn Otto or AJ Alexi.
Or Spencer Howard.
Oh, I forgot about Spencer Howard. Well, Spencer Howard is going to kind of spot start with somebody, with probably whoever's in that fifth slot of the, like, of that group I mentioned, I think. Because AJ Alexi did not look good. He walked six in, I think, 3 1/3 innings against the Yankees. And, like, that continues to be a huge issue. But, like, he did so well at the minor league level that it's like, okay, well, what do we do? I mean, I said I think he starts next year in AAA. Is that – do you think he gets more starts at the big league level this year? Do you think, like, already – it's like, well, I think the AAA season's almost done, but, like, should he not get more starts in the MLB rotation, or do you think him getting lit up a little bit is going to help him improve?
I think you might as well just keep him up here at this point, whether it's as a starter, moving to the pen, kind of until you hit whatever your innings goal or pitch goal for the season is, and then just kind of shut him down at that point. For next year, though, he needs to spend months in AAA. He needs to be a AAA guy next year for his own development. He did very well in Double A this year, much better than expected, threw a lot more strikes than expected, and kind of was forced into being rushed to the big leagues with the COVID situation. So just think next year you take it slow, you keep him in Triple A until he shows that above and beyond that he's major league ready.
That makes sense. And, you know, I'm curious because, like, I'm looking at his Baseball Savant page, because, you know, that's what I do with my free time because I'm a really fun, cool guy. you know, nothing on here really jumps out as that extraordinary. I mean, the max exit velocity right now is in the 78th percentile. They don't have everything fully, formed out because he's only pitched in four games now. But, like, the fastball velo is, you know, 49th percentile, fastball spin, 43rd, and it's a four-seamer. So, like, it should theoretically be better than that. Curveball spin is 48th percentile. And the it's just such weird numbers. Like, I don't understand how his fastball has a batting average against of like 0.094, and you know, expected batting average is still under 200, a little bit like double at 181. How is he able to get like a 21% whiff rate on that four seamer if it's not fast and it's not located well because he's walking a bunch of people and it's not spinning a whole bunch? Like, how does make that make sense if you can?
I don't know. I'm surprised it doesn't rate better in spin rate, because I think that's kind of always been one of the things with him. Now, he did come from the Dodgers, so keep that in mind when it comes to spin rate. But
I don't know.
I don't know. That's interesting.
What do you mean? Keep in mind that he came from the Dodgers. Do they not value spin rate? Do they?
No, they big spiders hack people. Remember early in the season with the Rangers, like Spores and DeGust, the two Dodgers were the two who plummeted after that. And that was a kind of a common theme.
Okay. Well, that makes some sense. But the curveball numbers are somehow even weirder. Like I said, it was 49th percentile in curveball spin rate. But like, here are these numbers that are making me confused. Granted, he's only thrown 22 curveballs versus 177 fastballs. He's not thrown a whole bunch of pitchers. He throws them a little bit, like basically equally to righties and lefties, 14 to righties, 8 to lefties. So 6.6% of his pitches. It's averaging at 75.6 miles an hour. Right now, batting average against it, hitters are hitting 500 against it. Expecting batting average is 475. Slugging 500 against it. Expected slugging 523. So all those around the same. Like, it's getting lit up. But also, it's okay. Got a whiff rate of 50%.
What? Yeah, well, the batting average is 500 because hitters are 1-for-2 off of it. So tiny sample size there.
Okay. All right. That makes it make a little more sense. Good Lord. I can't speak at all. But we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, talk a little bit about who we think really deserves or will take that spot, fifth spot in the rotation, or if Spencer Howard is going to be able to make that jump into being an actual starter who can go a regular starter's amount of innings next year. First, it's word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by betonline.ag. We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back to start another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface and even more odds, props, and contests, betonline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code NFL100 from football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Be sure to use that promo code LOCKEDON. This episode is also brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why would you endure pointless or even seemingly intimidating questioning about your car and things that you don't know and wait while a person behind the counter orders parts on their computer, choosing from only the brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. You can save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why would you spend up to 30, 50, even 100% for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. They've got everything you could need, so go explore their easy-to-use website today and find the solution to your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck, right Locked On, and their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Now, let's take a look at this rotation. Like we said, there are some definites in this rotation. There is Dane Dunning. There is Taylor Hearn. And then there is Spencer Howard, I guess, and then question mark. That's about it. And, you know, Spencer Howard did have what I thought was his probably his best start the other day, going three innings, only allowing one hit and striking out three. I think he only walked one. But do you think that, how long do you think it's going to take for Howard to, you know, get extended out into being an actual starter?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's impossible for anybody who doesn't know his medicals to know, really, because we've all kind of questioned the workload and the limited use of off-speed pitches, which to me indicates that there's something going on there. And I don't think we have any ability to know. I think we'll just have to see and see what they say over the offseason, I guess.
So by something going on there, do you mean like an injury or?
Yeah. Like a, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that makes sense. Yeah. Why would he, if he was injured, why would he throw fewer off speed? Is it because it's the off speed stuff or the breaking stuff or whatever is harder on the elbow or arm or whatever than a fastball is?
Yeah. And it could be that they've maybe flagged a potentially upcoming injury. They can do that in some cases now, but yes. Yeah.
So is that why Lance Lynn can throw 1,800 pitches because he's only throwing fastballs?
Well, he's also a big dude who there's many factors in it, but he's a big dude who has good mechanics and he's been lucky too. But yes, that helps for sure.
You know, he's another guy who I kind of wanted the Rangers, like when they started competing again, to like go out and get. There's still a really good relationship there, but obviously the White Sox just extended him or signed him to a 2-year extension. I believe it's around $38 million total for that. So, which is, you know, heck of a deal for him. I think the Rangers signed him to a 3-year, $30 million deal. And there was still a good relationship there. He talked about how like the Rangers treated him well. I think the reason they didn't trade him at the deadline is because his wife, I think, was, I think she was pregnant at the time, but he just didn't want to uproot his family mid-season. Mm-hmm. And so the Rangers honored that and like, all right, well, we'll wait to the offseason. Weren't blown away by any of these offers anyway. So, yeah, why not? But, man, they've done a really good job of, you know, maintaining those relationships with the good players. And do you think that could benefit them and some of these guys, like, actually seriously considering coming back to the Rangers when they start to show signs of being competitive again? Or should we not get our hopes up for that?
If they offer them the most money, then yeah.
It's a good point. You know, I feel like offering them the most money is definitely a good thing. Helps. But those the good vibes as well definitely help. You got to be able to, you know, match those contract offers. And, you know, at some point when everyone's offering the same contract and you have sucked for a while, that could be like the difference of them actually considering you and not. But one thing I wanted to throw in there before we head out is Adolis Garcia and his Rookie of the Year odds. These are according to Bet Online, which this is either Bet Online giving you a good opportunity to bet on this and make money, or severe disrespect to Adolis Garcia. I'm not sure where I rank on this, but I think it might be closer to strong disrespect. Right now, Randy Arozarena is the favorite at 1-2 odds. Adolis Garcia is 11-4 odds. Ryan Mountcastle of the Orioles is 11-2 odds. Wander Franco, 10-1. And Luis Garcia, who, I'm going to be honest, I don't know who Luis Garcia is or who he plays for, is 12-1 odds. But I'm a little surprised that Wander Franco didn't have like a better odds and that like Arozarena has that much. I think it's that much better odds. Is that,
yeah,
is,
yeah,
that a lot better? Because I'm not great with math or numbers, and odds are math and numbers, which is kind of rude of them to do this to me, make me read numbers on my own podcast. But like, you know, Ryan Mountcastle is a guy who really came out of nowhere and also I believe also has 30 home runs. We're still waiting for magic number 31, or maybe he hit it tonight, I guess, as I'm recording this podcast, or in between now and then. If he did, just disregard this, and congratulations on the Rangers rookie home run record and stealing that from Pete Incaviglia. But I don't know. Did you think that anything stands out with these odds? Do you think they're disrespecting Adolis Garcia?
No, I mean, I think it makes sense. I mean, Garcia actually has a higher F WAR than a Rosarena. I don't know about B WAR, but it's
I think it's higher B WAR as well.
Okay, but it's mostly due to defensive value, which you're not going to get as many votes for, unfortunately. His OBP is down to 288. So I don't I think even if Garcia might be more deserving than a Rosarena, I'm not exactly going to take issue if he doesn't get it with a sub-300 OBP.
I will take issue because I know Randy Rosarena is probably going to win more awards. He already won, like, the most amazing postseason ever. Like, and he's probably going to be a pretty good big leaguer for quite a while. He's also 2 years younger than him. But, like, this is Adolis Garcia's year. Like, he might not ever do this again. He's definitely never going to be a rookie again. And I don't think he's going to win any MVPs unless somehow he turns what he did in the month of May into a thing that he does all the time, which, like, if that happens, then, like, I'm going to be over the freaking moon. But I don't necessarily see that happening as much as I want it to. But I'm looking at the Rays baseball reference page, and Wander Franco, as great as he's been, he's played 62 games in the big leagues this year. He's on the IL right now, and so I guess that makes sense. And I think I really went on a limb, and I think I said he was my preseason awards pick for AL Rookie of the Year. Do you remember who you picked? I think you might have said a Rosarena.
I probably did. I don't remember, honestly. Was Nick Madrigal still eligible? He wasn't, right? So I don't know. I don't remember.
He might have been.
I think I can remember my NL one, which was incorrect. I think I picked Tyler Stevenson.
I honestly have no idea who I picked for the NL Rookie of the Year. Like, I could not tell you. I don't think I even really knew at the time because I didn't know much about those rookies. I might have picked, but I wish I picked Jonathan India because then I would look really smart. But I don't think I knew his name to put him on my radar for that award. But, you know, you can't sue me for not knowing everything about a team that I know nothing about. But, you know, it's fine. Wow. Please don't sue me.
Yeah, I mean, you're the one who brought up the idea. I don't.
Don't actually sue me. My lawyer has advised me. My theoretical lawyer has advised me to not actually do that. But I'm curious. I don't think we talked that much about Cole Wynn. But I mean, how well would he have to do next season in AAA to, like, push for one of those spots in the rotation, in the Rangers rotation, assuming that only one of the two that I'm assuming veteran guys that they sign, assuming only one of those guys works out, or if Dunning or Hearn or Howard take a step back, do you think you'd have to do a lot? Or are you just like, I don't really care if you have basically a zero ERA through the whole season, I'm just going to stick you there because that's what's best for you. And, like, the jump is so big to the big leagues that you need it all the season you can get.
I would probably lean closer to the latter one, probably until about August. They want to get him a few starts, kind of wet his beak a little bit in the big league level, that because he did well in AAA, that's fine with me. But for the vast majority of next year, I'd like to see him in Rock, regardless.
Yeah, that makes sense. But one guy who I don't think is going to be in Round Rock next year is Josh Jung. I mean, the numbers are really, if you change your tune on, I think you thought, like, all right, it's going to take a minute. You might want to see, like, he's going to have to blow people out of the water. Do you think he's just, like, you feel pretty confident that he's going to win the opening day third baseman job?
I would be surprised if he's not the opening day third baseman. I don't know that he's ready to come up and light the world on fire, but I think he's ready to come up and hold his own. I think he has the makeup where if he struggles, he's going to be fine. It's going to make most sense is just to go ahead and bring him to the big league level and develop him up there because he's doing really, really well right now.
Yeah, I mean, he did really well for 43 games in Frisco, 186 plate appearances. He hit this is a slash line at 308, 366, 544. For those of you who can't do math at home like me, that's a 910 OPS. That was 10 home runs in that span. Now in 25 games in Round Rock, that is 113 plate appearances. He's got 6 home runs, 11 doubles, hitting .333 on base, .416, and slugging .626. That's an OPS of 1042. Remember when people said, oh, I don't know if he can hit bombs. I don't know if he can hit for power. I don't know if he's going to do that at the big league level or at the another level. Remember people who said that were so dumb?
Yeah, uh-huh. Well, then he started pulling the ball.
Like, he did.
He changed his approach to fix that problem. And that's – look, that's – I mean, that's his makeup. That's – he's going to do that plenty of times in his career. He's going to make adjustments. He's a smart guy, and he really loves baseball. So that's kind of why you factor that in on makeup – good makeup guys. And you value them higher because they will do stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think part of it was like it wasn't necessarily a problem. He was just trying to be a more complete hitter, so he used the entire field. He's just a smart guy and really like a very advanced at bat, even in college. From the time I saw him as a freshman, I'm like, wow, this guy really understands what the heck he's doing up there. And I mean, look at the power in his family. Jace Young slugged like what 30 something bombs as like a sophomore in college last year, and you know, I would love to see him hit 40 next year as the Texas Tech Red Raiders go their way to winning a college World Series. But yeah, I'm not going to get ahead of myself. I'd rather just draft him no matter what they do.
If he is 40, he may not be there at 3 or 4.
Well, then just chill out, Jace. Right. Chill out next year.
Get to 24. Play, top.
Yeah, 24, maybe 30 is your max. I think – I don't know that he actually hit 30 this year. I know he's close. Like, if they went further in the college world, or if they went further in the playoffs, they didn't even make it to the college world series. It's fine. But they went further. Gosh, I would love to see him against Jack Leiter. That would have been fun to see. But I don't know. There was something else that I felt like I was going to talk about. Oh, but, you know, we'll save it for another time. We got plenty more of these. We don't need to, you know, go nuts on the content. There will be more things to talk about, more, Joey Gallo nuggets to talk about. Oh, I forgot how we are closing this out now. Our random ranger.
Yes. So I'm going to give a big shout out, big congrats to Anthony Gose, who made his big league pitching debut the other day for Cleveland. The 100 mile an hour heaters. He was, what was it, 2018? He was in Round Rock. That's pre-Nashville. As he was just making the switch from outfield to pitcher. So he never played in the big leagues for the Rangers, but former Ranger great, just made it finally as a pitcher after not being in a big leaguer from 2017 to 2020 as he made that change.
Man, that is good. I'm like genuinely very happy for him. My random Ranger is, you know, I mean, he's not as random to us, but to the outsider, he might be. Wilder Rodriguez, a guy who played seven games for the 2014 Rangers, a guy who was a career minor leaguer, who made his big league debut, and I believe got the game-winning RBI in his first game, if I remember correctly.
Maybe.
It might have been his second game, but he got it while his parents were there to see him in one of his first big league games, a guy who was 30 years old, and they thought, this guy's never going to make the majors. He's going to be a great minor league coach. Maybe even possibly major league manager, but that was a really special moment in a really terrible season, and a guy who will always have a special place in my heart, even though, you know, he is a random Ranger.
Yeah, no, that moment almost made the entire season worth it, because he had been in Frisco for so long, just kind of being a mentor with no hope of making the majors, and they have this terrible season, and it's like, yeah, I mean, bring up Wilder, give him his reward. So he came up and did that, and after that hit, he was on first base crying, and then he retired. I mean, it was pretty, pretty cool.
Yeah, that was one of those all-time moments that, like, I mean, it's seasons like this. I mean, I wish there was another Wilder Rodriguez to come up and, like, have a moment like that. There haven't been as many this season. I mean, there was Joey Gallo's home run in his final game. There were Adolis Garcia's run of being insanely good, Kyle Gibson being really good, and, you know, now a couple of relievers that are coming on late. I really want, like, one of those moments this season. Yeah. There hasn't been the emotional ones like a Jose Trevino, like the walk-off on Father's Day. Like, I want one of those. That's like really the only thing that I really want before the end of the season. They've got, I think, as you're listening to this, 10 games left. Like I said, I'm not good with math or numbers, but – Rangers, please just give us one of those moments, because the season's been rough. But moments like that, you know, they make you not hate yourself as much for watching so many games of a bad baseball team. But this has been an absolute blast. Thank you for making your YouTube debut with us, Grant. If you're listening to this, please also go watch it on YouTube. As the kids say, like and subscribe. Also go follow Grant on Twitter at OG Shill. Follow me on Twitter at Bryce Patrick. Follow the show at Locked On Rangers. And until next time, don't forget to enjoy baseball.